Check engine light on? Take the guesswork out of your check engine light with O'Reilly Veriscan. It's free and provides a report with solutions based on over 650 million vehicle scans verified by ASE-certified master technicians. And if you need help, we can recommend a shop for you. Ask for O'Reilly Veriscan today.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Live from the Liberty University studio in Memphis, Tennessee, it's America's favorite gun-toting, Bible-clinging, deplorable American.
That's us. That's right. I love this American ride.
Todd Starnes.
Oh, yeah.
All right, I have my Baptist martini all ready to go in my mason jar. And by the way, for you Lutherans out there in the hill country of Texas, that's a Diet Coke with a wedge of lemon. I got my Orville Redenbacher popcorn. I am ready for the release of the JFK files, ladies and gentlemen. It's going to happen sometime this afternoon. And everybody is on edge here. So the question is, and the White House is really hyping this up. The White House telling us that this is going to be a big deal, that the American people are going to be shocked by this. Even Pam Bondi, the Attorney General of these great United States, saying that this is going to be a bombshell. And we even have a member of the White House staff. This is Harrison Fields. He's been on the show before. And, oh, by the way, welcome to the Todd Starnes radio program. Happy to have you with us. Harrison Fields, the White House Deputy Press Secretary, says you people are going to be shocked. Shocked, I tell you.
The American people will have their hands on these documents, and there will be a story to tell. I won't preview that story, but let me tell you, the American people are truly going to be shocked at what they see.
Who do you think did it? Who do you think did it? Was there one gunman? You know, there are a couple of theories. First, and the longtime theory was the mob was involved because RFK Jr. was going after the mob in New York City. That's one theory. The other, it had to do with the failed Bay of Pigs, and you had a lot of angry Cubans that felt like they were betrayed and abandoned by JFK, which they were. He was, by the way, JFK, just step aside, put the assassination aside for just a moment. He was not a very good president. But anyway, but we can't talk about that because that's impolite. But we talk about impolite things on this radio program. So anyway, those were a couple of theories. The other is that LBJ was involved, and LBJ was really put out by the Kennedys. The Kennedy brothers looked down on LBJ. They shoved him aside, didn't want him to have any sort of a role in the administration. I find that one unlikely, but that's another theory. The other is that there was more than one gunman. There's a new theory out. I don't know if you guys have heard about this, but they've got some video footage of the Zeebrugge film that they're using, or it may have been a different angle, that it appears that the driver of the presidential limousine may have had a weapon. And the allegation is that now they think the driver of the car shot Kennedy, which I don't think that was it at all. So anyway, we're going to find out, hopefully, President Trump ordering all of the JFK files to be released. And my understanding is they are going to be, for the most part, unredacted. So we shall see. I hope the White House is not, you know, pumping this up too much, because it could just be. And after 80,000 pages, at the end of the day, it could just be you had Lee Harvey Oswald with a pretty shocking, good shot, took out the president of these great United States and shot the governor of Texas, John Connally. I mean, that could, at the end of the day, be the story. But a lot of conspiracy theories are going around today. We're going to keep an eye on this, and we will let you know when the files are released. And Dieter, I hear you're a speed reader. Is that true?
I mean, I know my way around Word document, and I know how to type in the keywords, so I'm just going to type in the hot button items. Like, I'm going to be like, the Bay of Pigs. I'm going to type in the keywords that you just discussed, and I'm going to get to the bottom. There's no way I'm reading 80,000. I'm going to be honest. I have PTSD. I have Epstein file PTSD.
We still haven't seen the Epstein file.
Yeah, so I just hope that because they oversold the Epstein drop that still has not come, that they're not overselling the JFK files, because now I'm traumatized.
So President Trump was asked about the Epstein files yesterday, because again, he said day one, we were going to have the Epstein files, and day 60, and we still don't have the files. The president said it may be weeks now before we get the files. I don't think we're ever going to get the files, folks. I really don't. I think there are some incredibly powerful people who do not want those names released. So I don't think we're ever, ever going to see the true Epstein files. And let's get real. Most of the evidence, most of that has already been destroyed. But here's what cranks me up. I'm getting some hate mail on this. Now, before Trump was elected, the MAGA movement, America First Movement, was like, we've got to have those files. We've got to see who are the pedophiles in our midst. And it was, let's expose everybody. Get it out there. So then when Trump got elected, and I pointed out to Dieter that the files have yet to be released. Who do you think you are, Todd Starnes? I knew you were a closet Democrat. We don't need those files released. Who do you think you are? Okay, just make up your mind. Do you want them or do you not want them? It's not a big deal anymore. Okay, well, why did you make it a big deal in the presidential campaign? Why, if it's not a big deal, I'm just saying, if you're going to do something, do it. I say release everything. A lot of people are very concerned because they're afraid that these documents that are going to come out today are going to suggest that the CIA was involved in assassinating an American president. And if that happens, it really does change the entire dynamic of who we are as a country. Because at that point, it wasn't just an assassination, it was a coup. Everything we knew about whatever happened on that day in November in 1963 could very well change in a couple of hours. And this is going to be, it's really going to be one of those moments. That was not my moment. I was not born then. I was born in 67. For me, there were three moments. And you remember what you were doing. You remember where you were when they happened. Number one for me was when Ronald Reagan was shot by John Hinckley. And I was getting on board the school bus. It was in Reserve, Louisiana, right outside of New Orleans, getting on board the school bus, our driver, a guy by the name of Sarge, who smoked a cigar. The entire school bus should have gotten lung cancer. But, I mean, he smoked the cigar, and we all got on the school bus, and we were all just, you know, it was after school, kids, you know, kids are kids. And the Sarge turned around and yelled at us, and he used profanity. And he said, shut up, kids. The president's been shot. We're like, oh, my God.
Did you drop what you were doing? Did you listen to?
Oh, yeah. When Sarge tells you to shut up.
You shut up.
Yeah. He was kind of like a James Earl Jones, kind of like, you know, Samuel Jackson. If you cloned those two, mm-hmm. He was an intimidating figure. Everybody behaved themselves on that school bus.
Sounds like.
Or else he would have taken off his belt and whipped you. That's what they did back in the 70s and 80s. The other was the Space Shuttle Challenger exploding, and I was in college at the time when that happened, and that was just unbelievable. But for me, I think, and for many of us listening today, you remember where you were when 9/11 happened, and I was actually on my way to the airport. I was covering a speech being delivered by Janet Reno down at Baylor University in Waco. And that's when it happened. I remember swerving off the interstate, trying to find a TV, and ended up at a YMCA, and people were just gathered around watching as that second plane flew into the towers. I suspect many of you out there, you remember those moments. Well, for a large generation of you, And some of you may remember what you were doing when JFK was assassinated in Dallas, Texas. So anyway, we'll find out a little bit later on. It is going to be, according to the White House, a bombshell, and it will be shocking. Wow, I'm intrigued. By the way, Hunter Biden, did you guys know that you were still funding Hunter Biden's Secret Service detail? Now, I have a lot of questions about this. 18 Secret Service agents. That's how many Secret Service agents that we were providing Hunter Biden. 18. Ashley Biden, the one who, man, both those kids are messed up. But Ashley Biden got 13 agents assigned to her. And this is interesting because according to the Associated Press, the taxpayer-funded protection for these two was supposed to last for an extended period of time, which means for the rest of their lives. But you know what set Trump off? It turns out Hunter Biden was on a luxury vacation, and God bless Laura Loomer. You know, a lot of people love to bash Laura. I'm not one of them, because she's right. You may not like her tactics or her methods, but she's always right. She gets the story right. And she was the very first person to point out, hey, Hunter Biden is on a luxury vacation in South Africa where they're killing white farmers. That set off President Trump. And he said, this is insane. And he immediately revoked Secret Service protection for Hunter Biden and Ashley Biden. Now, I did a little bit of digging, and according to the Secret Service, protection, so if you're a former president, if you're the spouse of a former president, you get lifelong Secret Service protection under federal law for the rest of your life, unless you decide you don't want it. There is also another exception, Dieter, if you get divorced. So, might want to pay attention to Big M. This could get interesting. Now, if you're a child, your Secret Service protection ends over the age, once you turn 17, that's it, right? You don't get Secret Service protection anymore. And a lot of people are now wondering, okay, why were Hunter Biden and Ashley Biden given this massive security detail? What's going on there? Now, here's my question. You have to think that those 18 agents saw a lot of stuff. They saw a lot. I want to know, were there agents around when Joe and Ashley took the shower together?
I think that's, I don't know, Todd. I don't know how many people you can fit in a shower.
What?
Sorry, but that was way back in the day.
What about that cocaine?
Yeah.
Well, what about the cocaine?
Were there 14 secret, well, I don't want to overgeneralize the Secret Service agents that might have been in the hotel room. I've gone through, you want to talk about the files, I have gone through the Hunter Biden files. Unfortunately, those did get released, and I went through all of the documents, and I will never be able to unsee what I see. But you raise a great point. Were they there while he was doing, you know, crack cocaine off the butt cracks of
the hookers?
Well, I didn't want to say it.
The sidewalk sallies?
Todd, my grandma's listening.
Or to borrow a phrase from Jasmine Crockett, the hoes. Is that, by the way, when you look at the video, I think it was the one where he was sniffing the what looked to be some sort of powdered sugar off the buttocks.
Yeah.
You could see a shadow in the background. I mean, could that have been a Secret Service agent?
So you're telling me we're still paying. That is
we're still
insane.
Paying for it. You know, they're all going to need therapy. Those Secret Service agents are going to need therapy. I think they're going to have PTSD having to guard those two.
Mm-hmm.
They probably saw things that an average American, an average human should never have to see. There was some freaky stuff going down. That's all I'm saying. All right, we got to take a break here. We've got a great show lined up for you, ladies and gentlemen. Congressman Keith Self from Texas is going to join us. Also, Peggy Hubbard of the Real Talk Radio Network, a great host in the St. Louis area. They have got a massive crime wave underway. We're going to talk to her about that as well. And we're also welcoming our brand new affiliate in Houston, Texas, a Patriot Talk 920. And here's the deal. All this week, if you are calling in from Patriot Talk, you are going to get a wonderful Todd Stern Show prize package. We're going to send you a signed copy of my book, among other things. But you got to call in and be a part of our conversation. Our telephone number, 901-260-5926. That's 901-260-5926. Should Hunter Biden, should Ashley Biden get Secret Service protection? This is the Todd Stern Show. Folks, we have some exciting news about MyPillow. They're having their first ever mega sale. Oh, that was, we needed some sound effects.
Where did that come from?
Mega sale. MyPillow having their first ever mega sale on overstock clearance and brand new products. For example, Ben Dieter, you're going to need these. You need 50%. You're going to save over 50% on flannel sheets. Queen size bed only $59.98. King size sheet $69.98, and they sell out fast every year. So you got to get an order that right now. You can also save 30% on their brand new My Crosses. They're designed in the likeness of the one that Mike Lindell has worn every day for over 20 years. They come in men's and women's styles, and they're made right here in the USA. Get the 2025 6-piece My Towel set for only $29.98. Their quantities are extremely low, so you're going to want to get them now before they go. And I can't forget to mention the best-selling standard MyPillow. I have 6 of them. I like a lot of pillows. $14.98. That is a huge deal. So take advantage of the first-ever mega sale. Go to MyPillow.com, use promo code STARNS, or call 800-839-8506. That's 1-800-839-8506. But wait! There's more! Remember that $75 free shipping rule, Ben Dieter?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that ship has sailed, baby. The train has left the station. Because right now, for a limited time, every order at MyPillow ships for free. MyPillow.com, promo code STARNS, or call 800-839-8506.
Todd, when I went to Texas and I visited that site a few years ago where JFK was shot, there was theories going around that Woody Harrelson, the guy that starred on Cheers, that his father was involved in it, that he could have been the shooter. And I don't know how much truth is in that, but that's something that I was hearing over there too.
Well, that is Mark from The Villages, America's friendliest hometown. By the way, folks, if you are, and this is really for our new listeners in Houston as well as in Virginia, you can go to ToddStearns.com, download our free app, and you can send us a shout out, which is exactly what Mark did just a few moments ago. Ben, you know, we've been talking about this huge campaign every year. We take a month and we raise money for our friends at Food for the Poor. This is a great Christian ministry. They don't take a single penny from the government. No NGO stuff, none of that. They strictly rely on the donations of Christians. And I completely respect that. And that's one of the reasons why I'm so honored to be able to raise money for them, like my good friend Larry Elder, for example, and Eric Metaxas. So here's the deal. Last night, we got word that somebody from our St. Louis, listening to us on our St. Louis affiliate, the Real Talk Radio Network, donated $6,000, $6,000 to the campaign. That's just remarkable.
And you talk about the lives, Todd, that would be impacted by this. You know, you throw, it doesn't matter. It could be $5, $10, $50, $500. And in this case, Todd, $6,000. And it's going to a great cause. It's going to feed these hungry kids. And I think with a donation of that size, think of the impact for really generations from the generosity of folks like that. Just a huge thank you on behalf of our team, Food for the Poor, to these people, these donors.
And so we still have a ways to go. And today we want to hit that $10,000 mark, and we need your help to do that. So look, $100 feeds a child for an entire year, an entire year. And these kids, you know, they're the innocent victims of all of this stuff, right? These are kids, and we want to make sure they're getting a healthy meal, they're getting a nutritious meal, so they can learn, they can go to school, and they can focus on their studies and not where they're going to get their next meal. Right? So I want you to go to toddstearns.com right now and click on the blue banner at the very top of the page, Feed Their Future. You'll see it. Click on that. You'll be able to make a donation. You say, Todd, I don't have $100. That's okay. What about $20? What about $10? What about $50? Whatever you can give, we want you to give today. You can also text Todd to 51555, or you can give them a call right now, 855-353-4673. That's 855-353-4673. Now, look, in addition to doing a good deed, you're also getting some help on your taxes, because all of your gifts to Food for the Poor, you can actually declare on your taxes. It's tax deductible. So think about that. Pray about that. And we're going to be reading out names a little bit later on of the great folks that have donated. The folks who gave the $6,000, they want to be anonymous, and we're going to respect that. But God bless you. You're going to be feeding so many kids. A generation of children in El Salvador are lost to malnutrition, and the only way to a better future is through a school feeding program. Join me, Todd Stearns, in saving lives with Food for the Poor. When you click the Feed Their Future banner at ToddStearns.com, your gift of $100 will provide a child in El Salvador with daily school nutrition for a year. Call 855-353-4673 and make your most generous gift. The nutrition these children get in school is often their only meal of the day. Food for the Poor's school nutrition program effectively addresses malnutrition and increases children's school attendance. Your donation will also support local farmers who produce the nutritional supplements that are needed to improve children's nutrition in El Salvador. Your gift will allow them to focus on learning rather than worrying about their next meal. Today, you have the power to feed a child or an entire classroom for a year. Click the blue banner at ToddStearns.com or call 855-353-4673 with a gift of $100 to feed their future. All right, welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. This is the Todd Stearns Radio Show, and we are celebrating our brand new affiliate this week, Patriot Talk 920 in Houston, Texas. That is MAGA country down there, folks, and there's only one radio station that is your source for MAGA news and information, and that is Patriot Talk 920. And if you call in, we're going to hook you up with a latest copy of my new book. Folks, give us a call, 901-260-5926. That's 901-260-5926. So the question is, who exactly is running the Democrat Party right now? Because it is not Chuck Schumer. I want you to listen to Schumer getting roasted on live television. Cut number 8, please.
Hakeem and I, we have a day of action on Medicaid. In every state, in every corner of the country, Democrats are talking about they're going to Medicaid centers. They're going to people who would be deprived. And
Senator, people don't have faith in the Democrats.
Well, let me say this.
No, they don't have faith. As a matter of fact, here's a montage of Democrats trying to figure out what is their message, because right now their message is we hate Donald Trump. That's the message. Cut number 10.
The strength that we have is in this moment.
There are a lot of people that are watching his leadership in this moment. This is the moment.
I think about what's happening, in this moment.
What's important is that we meet this moment.
And which Democrats are actually going to stand up against Elon Musk and Donald Trump in this moment?
So there was a survey done over the weekend, and the question is very simple. Who do you think is the best leader for the Democrat Party right now? Ladies and gentlemen, I am not one to boast, but when AOC first got elected, I warned you. When was she elected? It was a couple of years back. I warned you that she was going to be a major player in the Democrat Party. And when she started the whole AOC and the squad movement, and you had the situation where she was promoting the whole Green New Deal, wanting to get rid of the cheeseburgers and the airplanes, this woman was very dangerous and is very dangerous. But understand something here, folks. We can't just be dismissive of people like AOC, because AOC and her values while they may have been far-left extremist when she was first elected, now those are mainstream ideas within the party of little David Hogg and AOC. Those are mainstream values right now. They are, it's almost as if the entire LGBT movement, it's really not the L's, the G's, or the B's, it's the T's, the transgenders. And their ideology has been grafted into the DNA of the Democrat Party. They can't separate that anymore.
No. You know, Todd, what's interesting about this poll? So Democrats were asked by CNN over the weekend, and they released this survey on Sunday, and they asked Democrats and then Democratic-leaning independents, if you could name one person thinking of Democrat leaders today who would best reflect the core values. And to Todd's point, AOC ranked at 10%. Now, who do you think followed and trailed as number two to lead the party into the future? Think of all your favorite Democrats. Who do you think it was? Vice President Kamala Harris. That was number two, ranked at 8. Then Bernie Sanders. Then you've got House Democratic Leader Hakeem Jeffries in at number 6. Now, here's what's crazy. You would think maybe Gavin Newsom, he started a podcast, or Nancy Pelosi, Chuck Schumer. Nope. Then it drops down to President Barack Obama at 4 and Jasmine Crockett. No one after that. Who do they have? Kamala Harris was number 2. I think that epitomizes how lost these people are.
Well, I think it is important, though, to pay very close attention to what's happening at all these town hall meetings they're having around the country right now. They are mobilizing, and they are going to be fired up in the midterm elections. The question is, what about the America First movement? Because if we're winning, 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 there is going to come a point when people are going to become complacent. That's what Republicans do. They have a very long history of doing that. These yes. far-left Democrats, they are out for blood. Right now, they're running out there. They're literally attacking anybody driving a Tesla. These are unhinged people. We've got a couple of stories. This was in Minnesota. And we've got the story up on ToddStearns.com. You had a couple going into this little high-end store called Love That Olive. They sell Greek and Italian food products.
Mm.
And it's a high-end store. This couple goes in. One of them's wearing a Trump shirt. And the employee goes ballistic and starts cursing at them and orders them to leave the store. Now, the good news here is the owner was horrified. And as soon as she found out, she fired the guy and she apologized. She said, this is just not who we are. But a couple of days ago, at a jazz club in Indianapolis, Indiana, a young woman walked into a jazz club she was wearing a MAGA hat, and the bartender on video grabbed a baseball bat and ordered her to leave.
Mm.
These are very dangerous people we're talking about here.
And just this morning, the Las Vegas Review had some video out of an attack at another Tesla dealership where, I mean, videos show several Tesla vehicles just engulfed in flames. That happened early this morning. It's unbelievable.
Hate crimes. They ought to, whenever they find them, and they're tracking them down, you get your video cameras out. And if you're a Tesla driver, I'd be packing heat.
Well, I wonder if the same way that these town halls are almost what they would call a psyop to get in front of the media, and so the media is just playing these town halls, if these polls that came out over the weekend, and right, Republicans love a good poll, and the Republican polls show Trump is up and Democrats are down, if that is NBC and CNN and all of these mainstream polling organizations releasing these, so Republicans rest on their laurels while it's angered Democrats in a way that we've never seen. They're obviously trying to fan the flames of rage, and hopefully that fuels voter enthusiasm for the midterms. So I'm excited about the polls, but to your point, we've got to have more than just polls.
Keep in mind here, folks, that all of these efforts by Elon Musk and Doge, all of these executive orders have been fantastic. Every single one of them, fantastic. But they don't mean anything. Congress has to step in, and they have to codify all of this. And we haven't done anything. We have not done anything at all except pass the continuing resolution. That's it. So Mike Johnson, somebody's going to need to light a fire under Mike Johnson. And the House, and many of them are, guess what? They're back home in their districts now. The members of the House of Representatives need to be butts in chairs, and they need to be just churning out every single executive order. It becomes the law of the land. That's what they ought to be doing. Otherwise, we get a Democrat in 2028, it's all over. It would have been all for naught.
Yep.
That's what I'm saying here. So, folks, we've got a lot of work to do, and we're going to have to pressure our Republicans. Do not be dismissive of AOC. I know the woman doesn't know how to operate a garbage disposal. I get that. But still, we're dealing with unhinged lunatics out there. They hate Donald Trump. They hate America. And they are highly energized and motivated right now. That's all I'm saying. All right, let's go to the phone lines, 901-260-5926. Let's welcome George from Deer Park, Texas, listening to us on Patriot Talk 920. Hi, George. What's going on today?
How are you doing, sir? Just thankful for that we're able to listen to your show on the radio down here, 920. And I'm just thankful for our president. They're doing a great job. When we voted, he's doing what we voted for him to do, and just glad that I'm on the right side of the winning team.
George, I don't know about you, but when I saw those three airplanes land in Ecuador or is it El Salvador? It was El Salvador. When they landed and they were getting off the plane, all the illegals, I'm watching this, George, and all I could think to myself was, you know what? I voted for that. I voted for that to happen. And it's like every single day President Trump is delivering on his campaign promises, George.
Yes, sir. I like the fact that he's not giving them a chance to think. Every day is something new. It's like Christmas Day every morning. And I'm thankful because it was time to do something. And I'm glad to, again, like President Trump, and he's using the right people, what we call them, the superheroes, Pam Bondi, Tulsi Gabbard, all those, Elon Musk, all those people that are on his side helping him out. And I'm glad that he took notice of his first term, that people turned their back on him, their backs on him, and backstabbed him. I'm glad that these people are on the right side, helping them out, cleaning our country out of all this garbage, of all these murderers, killers. And we want our country back, and he's taking it back for us.
George, I'm with you 1,000%, and we've just got to hold all of our elected leaders. We've got to hold them accountable because, again, they are on – Trump is operating on a whole different political plane than these guys. So we've still got the same sort of Republicans, but we're going to have to – they're going to do the right thing, but we've got to nudge them to do the right thing.
Yes, sir.
All right. Well, George, I'm so glad that you found us on Patriot Talk 920, and you be sure to give us a holler back one of these days. Don't go anywhere. The lovely Cassie is going to send you a little Todd Stern Show prize swag. It's our way of saying welcome to the neighborhood. 901-260-5926, our telephone number. That's 901-260-5926. We have a wild lineup for you folks. Congresswoman Mary Miller from Illinois is going to drop by. Also, Rob Bluey from the Daily Signal will be here, the executive editor. And Congressman Keith Self from the 3rd Congressional District of Texas is going to drop by as well. Dieter, did you see this? The White House press briefing yesterday was very interesting. Caroline Lovett was asked a question by Peter Doocy of Fox News. His daddy is on Fox and Friends. Anyway, Peter Doocy asked Caroline Lovett about this French leader who now wants President Trump to return the Statue of Liberty.
There is now a member of the European Parliament from France who does not think the U.S. represents the values of the Statue of Liberty anymore. They want the Statue of Liberty back. So is President Trump going to send the Statue of Liberty back to France?
Absolutely not. And my advice to that unnamed low-level French politician would be to remind them that it's only because of the United States of America that the French are not speaking German right now. So they should be very grateful to our great country.
Wow. Yes. Thank you, ma'am. It's true. It's true. Now, this guy, Raphael Glucksmann, he's a French member of the European Parliament. And Caroline Lovett is absolutely correct here. How many times do we have to keep pulling their duck fat out of the fire? I mean, geez, Alou. So look, here's the deal, folks. America, we're more than happy to welcome your tired, your poor, the huddled masses yearning to breathe free. But I got to tell you, we draw the line at the South African gangbangers. We draw the line at the Islamic radicals who want to blow us all to kingdom come. And if that's going to be a deal breaker, no problem. Guess what? Memphis, Tennessee, home of FedEx, just send us a shipping slip and we're going to overnight Lady Liberty right back to you. But again, a fair warning to our French friends. If the Germans do decide to invade, don't call us. Maybe you can call Canada. See what they can do for you. All right, got to take a break here, folks. 901-260-5926. Don't forget, head over to the website and click on our blue banner. Give a few dollars. Let's feed some kids.
Hi, everyone. Tom Mustin here for the Legal Help Center. If you or someone you know were diagnosed with lung cancer or mesothelioma, listen up. This could be the result of asbestos exposure, and you could be entitled to significant compensation. Call us at 800-304-4700. That's 800-304-4700. To find out if you qualify for a cash settlement, we have legal professionals standing by right now to take your call, and they'll tell you if you qualify. The call is free. The consultation is free, and you'll speak with a live agent right now. So, if you or someone you know were diagnosed with lung cancer or mesothelioma, call right now to find out if you qualify for a cash settlement. Call us at 800-304-4700. That's 800-304-4700 to see how much money you could potentially get. Advertisement sponsored by Legal Help Center. May not be available in all states.
All right, welcome back to the Todd Stearns radio program. Trust you're doing well today. We are waiting for the JFK files to be released. 80,000 pages is what they're telling us. 80,000 pages.
Did they give us a timeline?
Sometime this afternoon.
Sometime. Yeah, so sometime we're just monitoring what's happening out of Washington.
We are monitoring. Okay. So you better get your speed reading glasses ready.
All right. We're ready to go.
All right. Let's go to MC in Winston-Salem, North Carolina, listening to us on the great WSJS. Hi, MC. What's on your mind?
Well, a lot of things, but most particularly the fact that the Bill of Rights applies to the people in this country. Now, I want to do a comma but on that, but there's a new class of people in this country, and they're non-state enemy combatants who are practicing a new kind of asymmetrical warfare against the people of the United States. Now, that may sound paranoid, but that is what the case is with the young man, this way he's 30, who is in detention in Louisiana.
That would be Mahmoud Khalil.
That is him. And he took ground over here, built barricades, set fires, intimidated American citizens and foreign nationals, and he conducted warfare against the United States, the people of the United States. So I contend that his due process rights are lessened, and I think there'll be new law made about this. And I feel the same way about the Maris Grupus Trace and the TR.
Oh, the TDA, Trendy.
TDA, yeah. Excuse me.
Trendaragua.
I try to call them by their Hispanic names. But I knew a Maris Grupus Trace, illegal immigrant in Nashville 5 years ago, and he was working to pay off his $6,000 that he owed the coyotes or whatever, or maybe he paid them up front. I don't know. He's sending money back home. But he was disappointed because within a few months, his teenage brother was able to come in for nothing.
Well,
that's a true story.
You know, MC, it's fascinating to watch the media lose their minds over President Trump invoking the Alien Enemies Act of 1798. And Stephen Miller, I thought, did just a masterful job. It was a 9-minute back and forth with one of the legacy media types, one of the drive-bys. And they just don't understand. There's such ignorance within our media right now. You don't need the court's permission with the Alien Enemies Act of 1798. It literally gives all of the decision making to the President of the United States. So President Trump was well within his rights to invoke the Alien Enemies Act, and he was also well within his rights to remove those very dangerous people from our nation. And now the Democrats are literally siding with Tren de Aragua.
Yeah, Mr. Starnes, that act was used in a very difficult time in this nation's history, much like one now.
Much
foreign
like today, yeah.
Powers were acting against our interests. Well, I want to say this. The Congress has the power to declare war, but the president has a duty to defend this nation from attack.
That's it. He is living up to his constitutional obligation and the oath that he swore to this country. And we don't really, you know, I think we don't take those oaths as seriously as we should, or maybe as our founding fathers did. But MC, I'm telling you, that's what this man is doing here. We are, this nation was literally on the brink of socialism. And when you see the amount of money that was being used, I mean, we still got, what, $4 trillion that's unaccounted for right now. We don't know where that money is. They were using the government. They were using all of our agencies. They were using our money. They were using our education system. And they were turning this nation against the Constitution. That's what they were doing, MC. I got to run. We're super late for a break here, MC. Thank you for listening. And we want to thank our great friends in Winston-Salem. What a terrific radio station out there. All right. Hang tight, folks. Hour two coming up. 901-260-5926. Our telephone number, that's 901-260-5926. Folks, in the meantime, head over to the website. Make a donation. We're going to be reading off names, saluting you a little bit later on in the next hour of the program. We'll be right back, everybody.
From the Liberty University Studio in Memphis, Tennessee, it's Common Sense Conservative Commentary from Todd Starnes.
That's right. I love this American ride.
All right. Well, hello, everybody. This is the Todd Starnes Radio Show. Welcome to you all. And we do want to welcome all of our brand new listeners in Houston, Texas, at Patriot Talk 920. What an honor to have you folks joining us today live, noon to 3 Eastern. We have a bit of a breaking story coming out of our nation's capital. Now, President Trump has been calling for the impeachment of the judge who blocked President Trump from invoking the Alien Enemies Act of 1798. That judge, a U.S. District judge by the name of James Boasberg, who was appointed to the bench by Barack Hussein Obama. President Trump writing this on True Social, the radical left lunatic of a judge, a troublemaker and agitator, who was sadly appointed by Barack Hussein Obama, was not elected president. He didn't win the popular vote. He didn't win all seven swing states. He didn't win 2,750 to 525 counties. He didn't win anything, talking about the judge. He goes on to say, this judge, like many of the crooked judges I am forced to appear before, should be impeached. We don't want vicious, violent, demented criminals, many of them deranged murderers in our country. Make America great again. And the president is absolutely right about this. Well, now comes the breaking news where we have the Chief Justice of the Supreme Court issuing a very rare statement and rebuke of President Trump. I told you this. I told you, folks, from day one, John Roberts was a weasel. I tried to tell you about this guy. And you watch out for Amy Coney Barrett, because she is cut from that same cloth. Here's what the justice said, the Chief Justice. For more than two centuries, it has been established that impeachment is not an appropriate response to disagreement concerning a judicial decision. The normal appellate review process exists for that purpose. Well, the reality is that that Judge Boasberg seems to think that he is president of the United States of America, or at least he has more power than the president of the United States of America. And that is unacceptable. We cannot have these radical judges running this nation and stopping President Trump's agenda. Now, when you go back and you don't even have to have a law degree to understand what this act does, but it is the sole authority of the president, the president's decision. This is the one, he's the one that gets to make the decision who stays and who goes. By the way, let me tell you a little bit about Judge Boasberg. This is coming from Laura Loomer. It turns out that his daughter worked for a 501c3 called Partners for Justice. That organization gives criminal, illegals, and gang members legal advice. That's what's going on here. So now I hope you're starting to put all of these things together. It's not just the Democrats that are elected to Congress we have to worry about. It's their spouses. It's their children. That's how they're laundering all of this money up there. Well, let's go to the phone lines, 901-260-5926. Anna in Dahlonega, Georgia, listening to us on WDUN. Hi, Anna. What's on your mind today?
Well, I'll tell you what. John Roberts is a liberal judge. He's worse than a liberal judge. He sat in the lap of Obama when he was trying to pass all of that mess with his medical, with his, he wanted the United States of America, the people of the United States of America, to pay for everybody's medical bills. I'm telling you, I'm not, you know, obviously, I'm not a legal scholar, but I can tell you, I can put one and one together. And I see what's going on, Todd. Here's what bothers me so bad. The President of the United States has been so disrespectful, so disrespected by the very people in the other arms of government. And you're right. We are so close, even now, to a socialist government because of these liberal, progressive judges are bringing us right to the path to hell. And I am so sick and tired of watching Donald J. Trump get abused. He's probably the finest president we've ever had besides George Washington and a few others, but he is so strong and so focused, and you've got John Roberts giving him information that is not accurate.
Well, let me say this, Anna, about Donald Trump, and I'm starting doing some research and compiling some notes, and I was thinking about what you just said last night, that, you know, where would you rank Donald Trump in the great history of presidents in this nation? And the more I think about it, the more I believe that Donald Trump may actually truly be the greatest of all the presidents. And I say that because this is a man who is trying to save this nation, much like Abraham Lincoln did during the Civil War or the War of Northern Aggression. Much like what George Washington did leading and being a general of the troops during the Revolutionary War. But this is a very different age. This is a very different country. And if Donald Trump is successful at stopping the drift towards socialism and then ultimately communism, if he's able to put the brakes on that and restore America to her true place in the world, then I believe he will go down as the greatest president that we've ever seen. Anna, God bless you. Thank you for calling in. Thank you for listening to us in beautiful Dahlonega, Georgia. That was, by the way, Dahlonega, Georgia, Ben Dieter. That was the location of the very first gold rush in the state of Georgia.
Wow.
You can still go down there today and you can mine for gold or whatever they do for gold.
Incredible.
All right, let's go to Art in Springfield, Oregon, listening to us on the great KYKN. Hi, Art. What's going on?
Hey, I am, you know, we hear a lot about the South border and the Muslim terrorists, but we've got problems with the North border and South Asians, and I mean people from like the subcontinent, Bangladesh, India, Pakistan, those areas are coming in and they're getting jobs driving trucks. I'm a truck driver, and I see every day they don't speak the language. You know, a vast majority of them don't. So they can't read the language either. So they drive with their phone in their hands with interpreter programs going on. And if you're ever on the interstate and you watch and you see a trucker swing his trailer clear out halfway into the shoulder, I guarantee if you drive up and look, it'll be somebody from that area, South Asia. If there was a breakdown on accidents, fatal accidents, they would lead the vast majority. I drive every day. I don't see a fatality every day, but I see one at least twice a month. And if it's a semi, it is always a South Asian driving it. And nobody talks about it because it's, especially my area, because it's considered, you know, it's extremely liberal area and it's considered racist.
Art, let me ask you a question. Let me ask you a quick question here, because in Arkansas, there was some video going viral a few days ago. Truck driver said, "You're not going to believe what happened to me. I pulled into a weigh station, and an officer came up, handed me a piece of paper, said, 'Can you read this in English, and can you write something in English?'" And it was very clear they were testing to make sure that the driver of this truck could actually, you know, was fluent in speaking English and reading and understanding. Is that something that you guys are faced with there in Oregon?
I've never had that happen, and I run mostly up and down the I-5 corridor, and I have never had anything like that even happen, not even close.
Wow!
And I just pulled out of a police station.
And I got to tell you, I'm kind of glad. I mean, if that went down the way it did in Arkansas, and they're playing hardball in Arkansas, if that happened, I'm glad. I want to make sure everybody who's driving on American highways can actually read those signs and understand what they mean.
Exactly. I mean, you need to be able to. You're supposed to read every single sign as you go by. You need to be able to read them and understand them instantly. I mean, People talk about truck drivers not being too bright, but it's a very difficult job if it's done right. And there are so many people that it's not being done right. I'd say probably 65 to 70% of the truckers on the West Coast are from the subcontinent. Of those, I'd say 70 to 75% cannot read English. If you can't speak it, you can't read it.
That is shocking. Shocking. Art, I really appreciate you calling in and giving us some intel here. That's not right, and it is so incredibly dangerous. You be safe out there, my friend, and we certainly appreciate all of you truckers out there. It would be a crazy country without you guys out on the roads. All right, let's go real quick to Mark in Houston, listening to us on Patriot Talk 920. Hi, Mark, what's on your mind?
Hey, great to have you live in Houston, Todd. Yeah, one thing I wanted to bring up with you is just how pervasive these NGOs and taxpayer-funded liberalism is in this country, even in a conservative state like Texas, where I live in Houston. Our county, Harris County, one of the largest counties in the country, largest county in the state of Texas, uses my tax dollars to fund these quote-unquote nonprofit organizations, which are providing legal representation to illegal immigrants in deportation proceedings. So when you're talking about, you know, these judges and these relationships, I think that's something that that you and the media need to focus far more on, simply because I don't think that this issue gets enough attention and gets people worked up enough, simply because I don't think they know how big of a problem this is and how much money of our tax dollars are going to pay for these sorts of things.
Mark, and again, we've been covering this a lot on my show for the past, 50, 60 days. And let me say this about the NGOs. I'm of the opinion, I'm getting close to the opinion, where we need to revoke every single one of them and start over again. because I'm not sure we're actually going to be able to unravel all of the corruption and the crimes that have occurred with that money. I mean, we got $4 trillion nobody can even find. We don't know where that money went to. So I would be okay with just, you know what, let's just cut everybody off and start all over again.
I'm with you 100%, and I'm hoping Elon and his team at Doge does the Lord's work in shining a light on this, because we've been paying way too much for way too long.
We have indeed. Well, Mark, again, welcome to the show. I like your comments. Hang tight, and Miss Cassie's going to get your information. Thank you again for listening to us on Patriot Talk 920. All right, we've got to take a quick break here, folks. 901-260-5926 is our number. That's 901-260-5926. Some important Social Security news. President Trump's Doge chief says Social Security, a Ponzi scheme, says there's so much fraud, it's the big one to eliminate. Now, Rob Finnerty is on Newsmax tonight warning that Social Security could be in danger. Doge already slashing half the Social Security offices across the nation. Rob Finnerty says that's wrong. Millions will find their benefits denied. You paid into Social Security all your life. Now Rob Finnerty exposes the lies about Social Security and why it must be protected. You can watch Rob's special series on the dangers to Social Security at 8 o'clock Eastern. Find Newsmax on all major cable systems or download the free Newsmax app. Millions of Americans are switching to Newsmax because it's news they can trust, real news for real people. All right, welcome back to the Todd Starnes Radio Show. So, there's a story circulating involving President Trump and Congresswoman Ana Paulina Luna. She is the Republican from Florida. And I wanted to share this with you just so if you hear about this on social media, you actually hear the real story. So, there is a book coming out written by an Axios reporter by the name of Alex Eisenstadt. He is the author of Revenge, the inside story of Trump's return to power. And he had some really good inside intel and wrote a story about Congresswoman Luna and President Trump on board his jet. And I want to read to you how the Daily Beast, I'll get back to explaining all of this in context. But the Daily Beast, when they read this, they ran with the headline, "Don't tell Melania, Trump once offered rising MAGA star his bed." The alleged comments cast new light on the president's eyebrow-raising marriage to Melania Trump. So, I glanced at this yesterday, and folks, I don't believe anything that the mainstream media writes about Donald Trump or any Republican or any conservative. You just can't. So it turns out that the real story shows President Trump's deep compassion and his kindness. So it turns out at the time, this was back in 2023, President Trump did in fact offer Congresswoman Luna the bed on his jet. It turns out that she was pregnant at the time, and she was feeling very sick. And the president cracked a little joke during the process of all of this. And here's what he told Congresswoman Luna. "If you need a bed to lay down in, there's one here on the plane. If you feel sick and you need to lay there, you can lay on it. Just don't tell Melania. She doesn't like other women on my bed." Ha ha, right? That's a funny joke. But instead of saluting President Trump for being a kind and considerate person, the Daily Beast is smearing him as if he was having sex with Congresswoman Ana Paulina Luna on his plane. These people, you cannot hate the mainstream media enough, ladies and gentlemen. You just really can't. And it's tragic. It's tragic, but hear me on this. There is a reckoning underway, and a lot of these far-left news organizations they're going belly up. They're not able to pay their employees. A lot of these newspapers are owned by actual business people, and they don't like losing money hand over fist every month. So changes are coming in the media, whether these far leftists like it or not. But they have exposed themselves for who they truly are. These are very, very nasty people, and they're liars. Just look at all the stuff on Wikipedia, all lies, and they get away with it. Well, I don't think they're going to be getting away with it much longer. Judgment Day is coming. All right, got to take a quick break here, folks. 901-260-5926, our telephone number. That's 901-260-5926. Hey, in the meantime, during the break, head over to toddstearns.com and check out all of our great stories. You can also download our free app, and you can download our newsletter. Again, free of charge. We'll be right back, everybody. All right, folks, don't forget, 5 o'clock Eastern tonight, the Todd Stern Show on Newsmax TV. We're going to have a great conversation. So, six months or so ago? It's been a while. The mayor of St. Louis, Tashara Jones, was invited to attend a summit in Memphis, Tennessee, convened by the mayor of Memphis, Paul Young, Memphis being the largest majority black city in America. And he invited all of these other black mayors to join at this summit there. And they were talking about how to deal with crime. Memphis is, depending on what poll, what survey you're reading, is either the most dangerous city in America or in the top three or four cities in America. So anyway, at this gathering, the mayor of St. Louis made a rather stunning pronouncement. She said the problem isn't really the criminals as much as it is the business owners.
This will not be the last engagement, but that we will continue to lean in.
Mayors and leaders from Jackson, Mississippi, Los Angeles, Washington, D.C., Atlanta, Durham, St. Louis, and more meeting Wednesday and Thursday to talk crime and solutions. St. Louis Mayor Tashara Jones says she's taking back strategies used in Atlanta for nightclub owners and eyeing ways to reduce crimes around convenience stores.
We have a lot of violence around convenience stores and gas stations, so how can we hold those business owners accountable and also bring down crime? And then some of the things that we're already doing, we're finding that other mayors are doing as well.
Discussions with the Council on Criminal Justice and chats between leaders were closed to the public and media. According to the Memphis Shelby Crime Commission, overall crime went up 6% in Shelby County in 2023 compared to 2022. Violent crime was also up in 2023, and the biggest issue, property crime, up nearly 16% in the county.
All right. Well, there you have it. I want to go to the Patriot Mobile Newsmaker line. Peggy Hubbard joins us. She has an incredible talk show on Real Talk 93.3 FM, the Real Talk Radio Network in St. Louis. Peggy, welcome to the show.
Thank you for having me. My honor.
Well, Peggy, are you surprised to hear the mayor of St. Louis basically say, you know what, the problem here, it's the business owners. They're the ones that need to make sure there's no crime happening.
You know, I'm not surprised, Todd, by this left-leading ideology, Democrat Socialist Party. And St. Louis has had its share of crime. But we have never seen crime this bad. And yesterday, we had a violent carjacking, a high-speed chase through the city of St. Louis on the highway, and a police officer was struck. So she says that crime is under control. And I got some numbers for you here. We had 5 carjackings, 4 murders, 2 high-speed chases, and 5 arrests, and that was just 1 week. That was last week leading into yesterday. That's how bad it is in St. Louis.
So it's the same thing is happening downriver in Memphis, where the crime mm-hmm. is just off the charts. And I don't know what it's like in St. Louis, but here in Memphis, the police, you know, we're lacking about 1,000 officers. They're not able to really engage and do their jobs. Are they handcuffing the cops here in St. Louis as well?
Yes, they are. And this past 2 weeks, there was a huge debate in Jefferson City, Missouri's state capital. And the crime was so bad that the newly elected governor, Governor Mike Kehoe, They pushed the bill through, and the governor is taking back control of the St. Louis City Police Department. In the last academy class, when my husband was a police officer, he started in 1990. His graduating class was 141 recruits. They just graduated a class 2 months ago. They had 9 recruits.
Really?
Nine. And so this bill measure was pushed through by the Republicans, and I'm so proud of them. And they're taking back control of the St. Louis Police Department because under two mayors, Lyda Crewson and Tashara Jones, we have seen such a fall in law enforcement in the city of St. Louis. I mean, people, these cops are actually leaving to take less pay just to get away from the city. That's how bad it is. So the city control is going to stop on June 1st. The governor is putting back the police commissioner board, and that's 6 bodies. That's including the mayor and five other people that he will appoint to the board. And we've never had, in the city of St. Louis history, we've never hired a police chief out of ranks. Tashara Jones, the mayor of St. Louis, who is, she is left-leaning. She's a socialist. She hates the police. She backed Kim Gardner, and you heard about her.
Oh, yes.
I'm sure. Kim Gardner, that was her BFF, and she fought to the end to keep Kim Gardner. And the police department was telling her that their cases for rape, arson, murder, robbery, carjacking, these guys, these criminals were not being held accountable for their crimes. And we had to remove Kim Gardner. And the governor back then, the old governor, Mike Parsons, they spearheaded an investigation into Kim Gardner, and it leads to Mayor Tashara Jones. That still is an ongoing investigation until how she handled these cases and how she allowed for these criminals not to be prosecuted. And so far, under Tashara Jones' leadership as mayor, we have had 5 city protests in the city jail. 5.
Peggy, let me jump in here for a moment. And by the way, folks, we've got Peggy Hubbard with us. She hosts a great radio program for the Real Talk Radio Network in St. Louis, and we're honored to be a part of that great radio group. Peggy, are you guys, at least in your downtown area, are you seeing the rise in violent crime, young people taking over the streets? And we're getting a lot of that in the Memphis area.
Oh, yes. This past weekend, we had past Friday, right before the height of those bad storms pulling in and rolling into the St. Louis City area, there was a downtown takeover. They had over 230 kids, black kids, that totally took over Keener Plaza. That's the plaza that runs right towards the arch. They blocked off the streets. They were doing wheelies in the streets. They were racing in the streets. There was gunfire. And she says that the city is safe. The city of St. Louis is not safe. And I was born and raised in the city of St. Louis, Wells Goodfellow neighborhood, where it was high crime. And I grew up in that area. It is now worse. Anytime your son-in-law is a decorated Marine and he tells you he feels safer in Afghanistan than he did on the streets of St. Louis and the streets of Chicago, there is a problem.
Yeah, you know, you're right about that, Peggy, and it's just not right. Both cities, Memphis, St. Louis, so many other large cities, beautiful communities, beautiful people, and the culture, the arts, the architecture, and people are being terrorized, and it's because of these soft-on-crime policies of the Democrats. Now, I know you guys have an election coming up for mayor. Is that a big factor in the race?
It is. It is a huge factor. Anytime you go and try to celebrate or partake in the culture of your city, we cannot go to the zoo without getting robbed. We had a couple in the St. Louis Zoo, the world-famous St. Louis Zoo, and last summer, people were getting robbed at gunpoint at the zoo. How bad is it that these Democrats are just running these beautiful cities into the ground, and they want to blame President Trump, they want to blame Republicans, they want to blame conservatives, they want to blame people like me. Oh, look at you, you're putting a black eye on our city. And no, I'm not putting a black eye on our city. It's these progressive, left-leaning Democrat mayors that are running these beautiful cities into the ground. Chicago, St. Louis, San Francisco, Oakland. Oakland is a war zone right now. New York, Atlanta. My daughter lives in Memphis, and now she's looking to sell her house because the crime is so bad.
Oh, it's bad. It's bad. And it's even worse that we now that we have a mayor who says the real problem is a perception issue. We just have a crime perception problem. Meanwhile, you've got five or six kids just a couple of days ago that were literally out there engaged in a running gun battle in North Memphis, Peggy. And it's just, you know, where are the moms? Where are the dads? And, you know, we've got to stop this nonsense. And I suspect it's going to take a couple of things. Strong homes with parents and a very well-equipped police force to deal with these criminals.
Well, we have lost so many cops. In 1995, and it's funny you should say that, in 1995 we had 1,631 police officers. In 2024, it dropped to 1,343. And in 2025, we're losing, they said, roughly about 118 cops. 118. And the last academy class that we just graduated had 9 recruits. They lowered the standards of what it means to be a police officer. These Democrats are running the city into the ground. They want to blame business owners. You want to blame business owners? Business owners are the lifeline to your funding of your city. And when you start holding them accountable, how about this? How about you hold the parents accountable? How about you hold the courts accountable? How about holding the prosecutors accountable and allow them to do their jobs? Take the cuffs off the cops and put them on the criminals. And that's the God honest truth. And when they start talking about, it's not fair, it's not fair. You know what? When the Democrats took over and they gave us the Great Society, Lyndon B. Johnson, and they gave us the Great Society, they removed the fathers from the home, and the women, the black women, became married to the government. And now you have these women that are popping out these kids, and they want to go on television when their child does something wrong, like Mike Brown. My child never did anything wrong. Excuse you? Your child, we had a 7-year-old last year that was doing stick-ups with a Glock in Soulard. And you know where they found their mom, Todd? You know where they found her? She was in a bar at 3 o'clock in the morning. And her 7-year-old, her 12-year-old, and her 14-year-old were out doing stick-ups last summer.
Unacceptable. Just unacceptable. Peggy, look, we have got so much to talk about. We're going to get you back on the show. We're just so excited to be a part of the Real Talk Radio Network family. And, you know, again, I think you are a great voice speaking truth to the culture. And we certainly appreciate you coming on the show today.
I really do. I am so honored, and I really do appreciate the opportunity. And you got to come back on my show because my audience loves you.
We'll do it, Peggy. We will do that. All right, they're yelling at me, Peggy. I got to take a break. I don't know if they ever do, your team does that to you, but it's like break.
Yes.
All right, Peggy. Take care. The great Peggy Hubbard, ladies and gentlemen, from Real Talk Radio Network in St. Louis. What a terrific radio station they have. All right, 901-260-5926. That is our telephone number. That's 901-260-5926. This is the Todd Stern Show. All right, we've got a jam-packed next hour. Congresswoman Mary Miller is going to join us. Also, Congressman Keith Self from Texas and Rob Bluey, our good friend from the Daily Signal. Let's go to the phone line. So 901-260-5926. Let's say hello to Mike in Maryland. Hi, Mike. What's on your mind?
Hi, Todd. Todd, I believe it's time for Chief Justice John Roberts to resign. And a perfect replacement for him would be Judge Aileen Cannon. Judge Roberts has done great damage to the constitutional republic and the American people, and I believe historians will write that he was a traitor to the United States of America.
Why do you believe he was a traitor, Mike?
He's not reining in these judges that are giving lawless, unlawful orders. He's not. He's the Chief Justice. He's chief, and he should be reining them in.
Well, it's rather unprecedented for the Chief Justice to put out a statement like that. And honestly, you now have to wonder if the Chief Justice will have to recuse himself if, in fact, this particular case goes to the Supreme Court.
Yes, yes.
All right, Mike, it's a good call, and I suspect many others agree with you. Thank you for calling, and we love all of our listeners, WCBM in beautiful Baltimore. Let's go to Steve in Little Rock, Arkansas. Hi, Steve. What's going on?
Hey, Todd. On this, all these judges reprimanding Trump's decisions and all this stuff, it's time to get all this stuff out in the open, and I've got a good idea on how it can be done.
I'm all ears.
Some Republican states, hint, Sarah Huckabee and Tim Griffin, should sue the Biden administration for this auto sign deal, and they should reprimand and stop everything he signed since Election Day.
The auto pen.
Yes, the auto pen that now they're saying all the pardons were signed with. And they don't even know if Biden realizes what he signed since Election Day or not. Have you not heard the deal on the auto pen? And
no, we talked about it. We talked about it yesterday, Steve, and I think that is a great, great concern. There are some legal scholars who are saying the president doesn't have any legal ground, but I would contend if Joe Biden was not of sound mind, he had no idea what that auto pen was signing. He was going to have, he had to be there when the thing was signed. So we could be in a situation where a committee was literally running the White House and not Joe Biden.
Well, that's my point exactly, to get this stuff flushed out and make some decisions. What authority did that judge have to tell Trump he had to turn those airplanes around and bring those people back he was deporting?
There you go. That's it. But again, Steve, in that particular instance, and Steve, I got to run. I appreciate the call, sir. In that particular instance, the Alien Enemies Act is very clear. This is at the sole discretion of the President of the United States. That's it. No courts are involved. It is the sole discretion of the President of these great United States. They don't have a leg to stand on when it comes to that. And again, Democrats, do you really want to stand with the illegals, these violent criminals that are raping American women, that are killing American citizens on American soil? Do you really want to stand with those people? I don't know, folks. I don't know. All right, got to take a quick break here, everybody. Again, our telephone number, 901-260-5926. That's 901-260-5926. Listeners on Patriot Talk 920 in Houston, you call in, you're able to get on air. We're going to hook you up with a great Welcome to the Neighborhood prize pack. All right, hang tight, everybody. Hour three of the big show. We're also waiting for the JFK files to be released. We'll let you know when that happens as well. We'll be right back.
From the Liberty University Studio in Memphis, Tennessee, it's America's conservative blowtorch.
That's us. That's right. I love this American ride.
Todd Starnes.
hello, everybody, and welcome to the Todd Starnes Radio Program. What an honor to have you with us today. And all this week, we're celebrating our new affiliate, Patriot Talk 920 in Houston, Texas. We're honored to welcome them to our radio family. And anybody who calls in today from Houston will receive a welcome to the neighborhood, welcome to the radio show prize package. So all you have to do is get through our lovely call screener, Miss Cassie, and you could be getting a nice prize package in the mail. Our telephone number, write this down, 901-260-5926. That's 901-260-5926. It is, you just can't overstate this. The Democrat Party is, they're lost, and they're in the process of just completely unraveling. I want you to listen to Chuckie Schumer just moments ago. This is shocking audio.
And you know what their attitude is? I made my money all by myself. How dare your government take my money from me? I don't want to pay taxes. Or I built my company with my bare hands. How dare your government tell me how I should treat my customers, my the land and water that I own, or my employees? They hate government. Government's a barrier to people, a barrier to stop them from doing things. They want to destroy it. We are not letting them do it, and okay, we're united.
Okay.
Good.
All right, there you go. So it's all you folks just working hard, trying to earn a good buck. You're the problem in this country. I want to go right away to our Patriot Mobile Newsmaker line and say hello to Rob Bluey, the president and executive editor of the Daily Signal. Rob, it's almost humorous, and I do. I've been enjoying this. It's fascinating to watch the Democrat Party completely unravel, but it looks like AOC really is going to be the power force moving forward in the party.
Apparently, Todd, maybe she'll be the next presidential nominee for the Democrats. That ought to be fun for all of us to watch. But, yeah, they are a party in complete disarray, fighting amongst themselves, not with a clear strategy for how they're going to crawl out of this hole. I think it presents a massive opportunity for Donald Trump, who has already started to chip away at important blocks of their coalition in the 2024 election. And the policies that Trump is pursuing, as you and I both know, are overwhelmingly popular. These are not issues that are divisive. I mean, not every single one, obviously, but I mean, for the most part, Americans want to see their government operate more efficiently and effectively. They want to see criminals off their streets and largely out of their country. They don't want men playing in women's sports. You could go down the list. And I think this is what has Democrats really so confounded as to how they counter Trump.
I want to play this audio for you that just came in. This is the Senate Majority Leader, Chuckie Schumer. And here's how this is one of the strategies, Rob. You just got to listen to this.
I am hopeful that our Republican colleagues will resume working with us. And I talked to them. One of the places I told them to go in the gym, you know, when you're on that bike in your shorts panting away next to a Republican, a lot of the inhibitions come off.
I'm kind of creeped out here, Rob. I'm going to be honest with you. I'm a little creeped out.
Yeah, frankly, you know, Chuck Schumer has been in Washington, D.C. since 1981, first serving in the House and then the Senate and rising all the way to the top of the Democratic Party. I think it's probably there's clearly a generational divide between Chuck Schumer and some of these other rising stars in the squad and other quarters of the Democratic Party. I don't know that Chuck Schumer really knows what to do or what to say right now. So I'm confounded as you are. I'm not really sure how he digs himself out of this.
So House Republicans, as you point out, are zeroing in on 26 vulnerable Democrat and incumbents. And I'm curious, let's go through some of those, if you don't mind. Who would be some of the most vulnerable Democrats?
Well, so what they're doing is they're looking at districts where Donald Trump either won or he came close. And so there are, I believe, 13 districts where Democrats are currently in Congress that Trump won the vote in 2024. So those are obvious pickup opportunities. Now, the challenge always, before I get to any specifics, but the challenge always with these races are, even though Congress's approval is usually in the dumps, You have a situation where individual Americans generally like their member of Congress. And so, you know, it is it's always difficult. You can put together a list like this, but then actually going through and defeating these candidates is another story. So they come from places all over the country, Todd. And we're talking about California Congressman Josh Harder, Adam Gray, George Whitesides, Derek Tran, and Dave Min. And so five seats in California alone, and that would be a huge pickup opportunity. A couple in Florida, including Jared Moskowitz, who's one of those people who, you know, may occasionally cross the line and vote with Republicans. And Jared Golden from Maine, remember, he was the one Democrat who voted for the continuing resolution last week. And my home state of Virginia, you have Eugene Vindman, of course, from the Vindman family that went after President Trump so aggressively. So, you know, a lot of targets on this list. And I think Republicans are putting out that list early because they want to make it clear that they are going to be on offense when it comes to 2026, usually a year that in the president's term that isn't necessarily all that favorable to the incumbent.
Rob, when we look at 26, and it's going to be here before we know it, my concern would be that the Republicans have not moved the needle a lot in the House right now in Congress. Trump is moving at the speed of light. Congress, not so much. And then you've got a bunch of these House Republicans that are defiant, going out doing these town halls, which I think are just complete setups. And it's beautiful campaign fodder and footage for 2026.
It's true. You know, on the town hall point, I saw Chuck Edwards' town hall in North Carolina last week, which just devolved into a shouting match. You know, it's not exactly the type of image that Republicans want right now.
No, and Rob, hold on. We had the congressman on yesterday, and he is doubling down, and he says, "Nope, I've got an obligation." I'm like, Congressman, you don't have an obligation to basically walk into the lion's den. I mean, you don't have to do that.
Particularly because we know that there are Democrat or left-wing groups that are organizing protests for the express purpose of trying to create a viral moment. So, I mean, these members of Congress need to realize these are not just constituents who, you know, might have a grievance. They are actually being bussed there and sometimes encouraged to attend for the sole purpose of creating a disruption. Now, is there a beef with the House for not moving faster? Perhaps. I think we should give them the benefit of the doubt to get this budget reconciliation bill. I think it needs to be done by Memorial Day. If they don't have anything on the table by Memorial Day that for President Trump to sign, first of all, there's a couple of factors. Number one, the longer in the year you wait, Todd, you know that Republicans will get skittish because they're going to be closer to an election. And number two, as we saw in 2017, when they waited until the end of the year to pass the tax cuts, it didn't really give President Trump that benefit going into 2018. It took almost a whole year, and Republicans, of course, suffered losses in the 2018 midterm. So, you know, this is important for them to get that bill done and then really start moving on those appropriations bills so they can enact some of the cuts that Elon Musk has identified through DOGE.
Good stuff. Rob, we're waiting for the JFK files to come out. You guys hearing anything? What's the scuttlebutt there in D.C.?
Well, we sure are. Our White House correspondent Elizabeth Mitchell is over 1600 Pennsylvania right now trying to get some answers as to what timing we can expect and what might be in these files. But no, I mean, we are eagerly awaiting them, as I think so many Americans are. President Trump, of course, had the opportunity to do this in his first term and was talked out of it by some of these establishment figures in Washington, D.C. I am glad to see that he's following through on his promise this time to make sure that the American people can finally get some answers they've been waiting for since that fateful day in 1963.
There you go. It is true. All right, Rob, we're going to leave it there. Always good having you on the show. Thank you.
Thank you, Todd.
Rob Bluey, folks, go read the Daily Signal, dailysignal.com. That's dailysignal.com. I read them every morning doing show prep. They've got some great reporters. Rob and his team just really doing an amazing job. Can we go back? I want to hear that what Chuck Schumer said about the gymnasium.
I am hopeful that our Republican colleagues will resume working with us. And I talked to them. One of the places I told them to go in the gym, you know, when you're on that bike in your shorts panting away next to a Republican, a lot of the inhibitions come off.
Yeah, I'd like to know what's going on at the Capitol gym. I think we need to have a a deep dive, maybe do an investigation, perhaps bring some wet wipes. But something really freaky is going on in the Capitol gym. Ugh, goodness gracious. Creeps me out. All right, let's go to the phone lines here. 901-260-5926. Let's say hello to Sean in Georgia, WDUN. Hi, Sean. What's going on? What's on your mind?
Asset seizure is a way to help these people repatriate to their countries, these illegal immigrants. If they can sell out now and take their money, they'll have a fortune when they repatriate to their countries. If they don't, if they wait for Donnie Pack Your Bags Trump to show up, we're going to seize those assets. We're going to seize those stores, hotels, motels, restaurants, and the dirt that they sit on, auction those on the courthouse steps. We do that all the time. It's settled business. We've been doing that for about 40, 45 years with these drug crimes and these other crimes. So, you know, illegal immigration is a serious felony. It, in my state, I think it's one that involves moral turpitude, which is dishonesty, deception, evasion, subterfuge. So anyway, we just take those assets and we just seize those bank accounts, cars, construction equipment, construction vehicles, these big king cab vehicles. We just seize all that and sell it and, you know, claw back some of the money we've been out. But it'll give people an extra incentive to repatriate to their countries. That way we don't have to, you know, chase every one of them down and send out Tom Pack Your Bags Homan. And it's really a pleasure to be speaking to the blowtorch himself, Todd the Blowtorch Starnes. And again, I think that's just a really good way to go about things. You used to see vehicles, perhaps before the Biden administration, you would see vehicles, this Corvette, you know, it would be a Corvette, this vehicle seized in drug activity. From drug activity. We need to see, you know, the Maseratis and the high-end Mercedes-Benzes and the other high-end BMWs. This vehicle was seized in illegal immigration interdiction efforts.
I love this idea. Sean, I haven't heard of this idea. And we have a lot of people in D.C. that listen to the show. I would not be surprised if an enterprising congressperson actually brings this up as a possible new law on the books. I love this idea, Sean.
We do asset seizure. We've been doing
for
45 years.
We sure do.
I know that. And so I don't know why Donnie Pack Your Bags Trump is not talking about that more, talking it up more. And, you know, he can help all these people repatriate to their countries. And, again, they can go back and sell their stuff. They can go back with a fortune in their pocket.
Oh, there you go. Sean, I got to run, my friend, but thank you for that good idea. Look, I'm one of the very few conservatives on talk radio that believes, and I have a zero-tolerance policy when it comes to illegals. Everybody has to go. That doesn't mean that I'm mean about it. That doesn't mean I don't have compassion. I do have compassion. But if you came to this country illegally, you have to go back. You can apply to come here legally. But nobody wants to defend, nobody wants to talk about the millions and millions of people that are trying to come here the legal way. And every time an illegal crosses that border, it delays a legal immigrant from becoming an American citizen. I got a big problem with that. So, yeah, I believe they all have to go. Every NGO that is connected to helping illegals and their causes, they've got to be defunded. Any church or religious organization, whether it be Catholics or Baptists or Lutherans, it doesn't matter. If you're helping the illegals, you get defunded. And quite frankly, you might want to consider losing your tax exempt status, too, because any church harboring illegals and helping illegals across our border, you are an enemy of this nation. Shame on you. 901-260-5926. Let's try to work in a call here. Let's go to Robert in Deer Park, Texas, listening to us on Patriot Talk 920. Hi, Robert. What's going on?
Oh, not much. Just walking to the dance spot. And I just want to ask about when they're going to have that vote about no tax on overtime.
Oh, that's a great question. President Trump has a bad habit of saying we're going to do this on day one, and we all know he doesn't mean it. But it would be nice to know when he's going to do that.
Yeah, look at the computer. So that they just need the 53 votes for that one, right?
What's that now?
The 53 votes. They don't have to have no whatever.
No, they don't. No. Mm-mm. They don't. It's just a matter of getting that through through Congress. All right, Robert, I hate to do this, but we are super late for a break, but hang tight. Whoops, sorry about that, Robert. Give us a call back, and we want to send you a prize pack saying welcome to the Todd Starnes Show. We do have to take a quick break here, folks. We'll be right back.
product of our life experiences and this extended business trip of yours certainly qualifies. What is your life lesson or takeaway from these 9 months in space?
Well, in answer to your question, I can tell you honestly, my feeling on all of this goes back to my faith. It's bound in my Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. He is working out his plan and his purposes for his glory throughout all of humanity, and how that plays into our lives is significant and important. And however that plays out, and I am content because I understand that. I understand that he's at work in all things. Some things are for the good. Go to Hebrews chapter 11. Some things look to us to be not so good, but it's all working out for his good, for those that that will believe. And that's the answer. So thanks for asking.
All right. There you have it, ladies and gentlemen. That's Butch Wilmore. And by the way, Ben Dieter, what's fascinating about Butch, the astronaut, one of the two astronauts stranded in space by Joe Biden, what's fascinating about Butch is that he is actually a native son of the Volunteer State. He's a good old Tennessean. He's also a Baptist, and he's a part-time minister in addition to being an astronaut.
It's pretty incredible audio. They've been stuck up in space, Todd, for, most people don't know this, 9 months.
Mm-hmm. Abandoned
up there.
That's it. So they're coming home, and they're en route. The plan is to splash down off the coast of Florida around 6 o'clock this evening. So that's going to be a fascinating, what a great reunion. And you're right, they were only supposed to be up there for a couple of days, and they got stuck. The Biden administration never brought them back. And thank goodness for Elon Musk and Donald Trump. They're coming home.
Yeah. Yeah. Thank God for SpaceX.
Have you noticed, though? I mean, they're like openly thanking Trump and Elon in these back and forth. I've mm-hmm. never seen anything like that.
I mean, wouldn't you if you were stranded between Pluto and Uranus? I mean, it's an insane thing. Jupiter, Mars. I mean, it's crazy.
Yeah, let's not talk about Uranus.
Oh, I'm sorry.
National radio there, no. Ben.
Okay.
Uranus.
Oh. All right. Well,
no, I think
Venus and Neptune, and I can name all of them. I wanted to be an astronaut, so this is a topic near and dear to me. Not anymore. Not after being stuck up in space for 9 months. Are you kidding me?
I just can't. I can't keep doing this. All right. We have to take a break. And go. We're going to go pray now. 901-260-592.
Oh, man.
Oh, my word. All right. This is the Todd Stern Show.
This nightmare began on February 5th when my daughter was using the girls' bathroom and was stunned that a biological male student was using it as well. She came home frightened and was extremely upset. I asked her to talk with her teachers and find out more information. She was told by the administration that a student can use the bathroom as well as a female locker room because they now identify as female. I was sent an email to the teachers involved and received a call from Principal Wegley. He verbally reiterated that under Joanna Ford's direction and their legal counsel that the student could use both the locker room and bathroom. I expressed that the school was in clear violation of federal policy. The Trump administration issued an executive order restricting biological males from participating in sports and accessing female locker rooms. That day, I filed a civil rights complaint on behalf of my daughter with the Department of Justice. It has now been referred to the Department of Education. A federal complaint has been filed with the district to protect the students.
All right. That voice you heard, Nicole Georges, she is a parent. Her middle school daughter was forced to disrobe in front of a boy who thinks he's a girl in the locker room. It is causing all sorts of chaos in Deerfield, Illinois at Shepherd Middle School. I want to bring into the conversation Congresswoman Mary Miller, a Republican from Illinois. Congresswoman, good to have you with us. Your reaction to what this school is accused of doing.
Yes, thank you so much, Todd, for allowing me to continue to highlight this insane idea. Coercing middle school girls into the locker room and then expecting them to change in front of a boy
is so egregious, not only egregious, but it's criminal. And I'm glad that we're continuing to talk about what is going on. Definitely a battle between good and evil, and parents and taxpayers need to stand up to this craziness.
I know that President Trump, with the executive order, threatened to pull federal funding from school districts that don't crack down on this. And it seems to me this school in Deerfield is in clear violation of that executive order.
Definitely, this is a direct violation. And I am calling for President Trump to immediately remove all federal tax dollars from this school district. It's Deerfield School District 109. The school is Shepherd Middle School. These are seventh graders. And I believe he will do it.
I just can't imagine the trauma those young girls, especially at that age, they need that privacy in their locker rooms. And then to be forced, my understanding is some of the reporting says the teachers actually barricaded the girls inside the locker room. I'm with you. I think this is criminal.
So administrators and teachers should be immediately put on leave. It should have already happened. But we have a problem here in Illinois with our governor. Governor Pritzker has made it a priority, or he has prioritized the LGBTQIA2S+ community. That is their official list, by the way. I don't even know what half those alphabet letters stand for, but he basically has favored the queer and trans students and the activists. And he not only forcing girls to trying to force girls to undress or share locker rooms and sports teams with boys, they are hypersexualizing our children, and they have forced schools and public libraries to present indecent and perverted materials, graphic materials, in front of our children in school. Parents need to wake up. And they need to get involved. They need to run for school boards. They need to fight back. They need to sue their schools. And more importantly than that, there needs to be a mass exodus out of public schools. This is why I support school choice.
It's really shocking when you look at the rise in the number of students who now are dealing with what we call, maybe dysphoria, but this transgenderism. And it's impacting mostly young girls, but over the past, in less than a decade, a 422% increase. There's never been anything like this in recorded history of mankind, Congresswoman. So what do you make of this?
Well, whoever controls the information controls the people, and the kids are being bombarded with propaganda about this issue. And we took God out of schools. We need to bring God back. I don't care what people say. If they don't want God in the schools, they can pull their kids out. But our country was founded on our Judeo-Christian principles. We have no foundation if we take God out and we don't use the Bible to define what is good and evil. But until the last, say, 5 or 10 years, people acknowledged that there were two sexes, two genders, male and female, for all of millennia. In all cultures, in all places. This is complete insanity, and it shows that we're on the verge of a collapse of our culture.
I think you're right, and I think that certainly what we're seeing, and I know J.D. Vance, our vice president, has been warning of that over in Western Europe, and they are undergoing what some people are calling a cultural suicide right now, where they're destroying the very fabric that holds everything together. And I don't want that to happen here. And that's why I thank God every day that Donald Trump and the Republicans actually won the election in last November. Otherwise, I don't think we would be talking about a country.
Absolutely. And the churches need to get engaged. They need to start talking about the issues. And I know parents are busy trying to make a living and, just life is busy, but they have to get involved. They need to look at the curriculum. They need to talk to their kids and possibly take their kids out of public school. Decades ago, I took my children out of public school, and my kids were doing great in public school. They The teachers were my friends, but I took them out because of the curriculum. And the curriculum can be biased by what's included, but it can also be biased by what's not included. And the thing is that communities thrive when parents and schools work together. And parents are in the driver's seat. We are paying the taxes, and these people are accountable to us. This is a radical minority group, and we cannot let them do this to our children. And I've said before, evil doesn't retreat on its own. It won't retreat until it has a more powerful force against it.
It's so well said. Well, Congresswoman, we certainly appreciate you speaking out and speaking truth to the culture. I know that can be difficult at times, and you come under a lot of fire, but you stand your ground, and we certainly honor and respect that and appreciate you coming on today.
Thank you.
All right, Congresswoman Mary Miller on the Todd Stearns Radio Show, Republican out of Illinois, and she is a force up on Capitol Hill, and we really like the great work that she is doing. 901-260-5926, our telephone number. That's 901-260-5926. Folks, I want to remind you to head over to our website. We are in the throes of a very, very important campaign. What is that campaign? We are raising money for hungry children, and we need your help. We need every single penny you can send. We're asking you today a $20, $20 donation. That's what we're asking. When you look at the skyrocketing food prices in other places, it's just unbelievable. It's creating even more poverty and more food insecurity. There is chronic malnutrition, and it affects so many young children. I'm talking about kids under the age of 5 years old. And this is one of the reasons why I want you to consider joining my Food for the Poor campaign. You are literally, literally saving lives among the poorest of the poor. One of Food for the Poor's ministry partners on the ground is Carla, and she's actually serving our Lord in El Salvador. Take a listen.
Because El Salvador ranks as one of the top 10 most vulnerable countries worldwide. So the well-being of the most vulnerable population is always threatened on a yearly basis. We understand this is going to be a recurring problem in El Salvador. So having your support give us a lot of confidence that we can face struggles and support this vulnerable population without delays.
Yeah, and that's why I'm urging you right now, folks, head over to ToddStearns.com. Make a generous gift to help hungry boys and girls right here in our own hemisphere. When you go to ToddStearns.com, there's a banner at the top of my homepage. It reads Feed Their Future. Click on it. You'll see how easy it is to join this entirely voluntary life-saving campaign. You can also text my name to 51555, and we will send you a link back to join my campaign, or you can phone your gift, 855-353-4673. That's 855-353-4673. We'll be right back. All right, let's go right away to the Patriot Mobile Newsmaker line. Say hello to Congressman Keith Self from the 3rd Congressional District of Texas. Congressman, good to have you with us. A lot of breaking news today. First of all, being in the Dallas area, your reaction to the JFK files, they're expected to be released today.
Well, I think it's about time. We've been waiting on it. There have been a lot of theories about it. I think it's about time. I think they'll be explosive, and can't wait to see what's in them.
Yeah. Do you have any theories, or you got any insight?
No, I don't have any insights. I think they will be explosive, and I think they'll be explosive.
Well, speaking of explosive, the federal judge here in this legal battle, President Trump calling for him to be impeached. Now the Chief Justice of the Supreme Court weighing in and saying that that's inappropriate. It's sort of unprecedented for a Chief Justice to weigh in and basically rebuke President Trump.
Well, first of all, impeachment is a congressional action, and Congress will decide when to impeach. That's not the Chief Justice's job to tell us when to impeach. I think he's trying to hold off Congress more than President Trump, because there have been four bills either filed or said they will be filed, impeaching various judges who have ruled against President Trump. So I disagree with the Chief Justice, because the one that the president is talking about is strictly foreign policy. And you notice the Chief Justice talked about a long-established policy. Well, foreign policy belongs to the Chief of Justice, which is the president. I'm sorry, the Chief Executive, which is the president. For 200-plus years, foreign policy belongs to the president, because you have to have a unified foreign policy for the United States of America. That's the president. So this judge is well out of line. Impeachable, I'll let Congress decide. But again, the Chief Justice doesn't get to decide when Congress impeaches any of the members of the government.
You know, Congressman, it's a fair point you're raising. Again, people need to actually read the Alien Enemies Act, and it's pretty darn clear. You don't need a degree from Harvard or Yale to. It's pretty straightforward that the president gets to make those decisions, who goes and who stays, and that is the president's discretion alone.
Well, foreign policy in general, well after that act in the late 1700s, it's been the tradition of the United States of America, and it's the need. We must have a unified foreign policy, which is the president. We don't need that law. It is the purview of Article II, which is the presidency, the executive branch, to run foreign policy.
Congressman Keith Self joining us on the Patriot Mobile Newsmaker line. Congressman, that new polling data that came out over the weekend from NBC and CNN, I know there was one particular poll asking about if people were very, very confident in the Democrat Party. Only 7% of the American people said they were very, gave them a solid approval rating. What are you seeing up on Capitol Hill? Because it looks like they're completely unraveling here in the flyover country.
No, they're in complete disarray. I mean, they don't have a message. They don't have a messenger. They are flailing about. And frankly, I think they're doubling down on some of the issues that the American people are just not with them on. Some of the issues that are just bizarre, that they're doubling down on, and I think that's probably their problem. The American people have showed they're not with the Democrat Party when they go too far left. They're well out of the mainstream. And some of these issues, the American people in the mainstream of American culture, they're not going to like.
Well, we just had Congresswoman Mary Miller on, and she is just livid about this middle school in Illinois where the school physically forced girls to disrobe in front of a boy who identifies as a girl. And she's out there saying, you know, we got to take kids out of public schools. We've got to fight back here. This is really a war for the culture. And I know that you've been battling that up on Capitol Hill as well.
Absolutely. And Mary is exactly right. There must be a criminal act in there somewhere, forcing young girls to disrobe in front of young men. There must be a criminal act there somewhere. So absolutely, this is going to be a fight to retain our culture. Men and women's sports, young girls disrobing in front of men, transgender people demanding that we bow to their fantasy. That's not going to float with the American people. It's just not. It's not common sense, and I don't think that America is going to put up with it.
Congressman, when you look at where we are right now, we're, 50-plus days in, is Congress doing everything it needs to do to get the president's agenda moving forward?
Well, we had a huge win with the continuing resolution that just passed, went to his desk, and he signed it, because now he can do what he needs to with that budget, because that's the budget for the remainder of FY25 through September, the end of September. So now he can impound those funds that go to the Taliban, for instance. If he wants to, he can put a rescission bill in front of Congress to have rescissions to the budget. So he can start deciding what of the spending is in the national interest of the United States. That's why we wanted to move it so fast, because we didn't want to waste these next 6 months. So now that we've passed it, yes, people can say the CR actually extended Biden policy. But now the president, President Trump, has the ability to impound funds and call for rescission, which will change that funding over the next 6 months. And we'll see him start doing that fairly quickly.
All right. Well, Congressman, we're going to have to leave it there. We're ramping the show, but we really appreciate the great work you're doing for the good people of the nation and, of course, that 3rd Congressional District.
Thank you so much.
All right, Congressman Keith Self from the great state of Texas. Well, folks, want to remind you, 5 o'clock Eastern tonight on Newsmax, we're going to be juggling a bunch of breaking news. Number one, there's a massive protest against Israel that's scheduled for Times Square. There are concerns that could turn violent. We will have live reports from there. Also, we are anticipating splashdown of the astronauts who have been stranded on the International Space Station. We will bring that to you live when it happens. They're expected to splash down off the Florida coast. Another big story we're following, the release of the JFK files. Those should be coming out any moment now, and we'll be doing a deep dive into those tonight, 5 o'clock Eastern, on the Todd Stern Show on Newsmax. Folks, don't forget, head over to the website, toddstearns.com, and please, if you have $15, $20, $30, $40, $50, we want to encourage you to donate that money right now to our friends at Food for the Poor. This is an organization that is doing some great, great work. They're doing the Lord's work right here in our own hemisphere. It's been a lot of fun today, folks. Keep up the conversation over at toddstearns.com, all of our social media platforms. Get out there, have a great one, and you be good, America.